There is a delay of up to, we're told, 10 days for some people to get their COVID-19 test results. The chairman of the Coronavirus Expert Advisory Group, Gillian Dugascon, says it's a result of the plan that is in place.
What we've been doing over the last week is prioritising hospitalised patients and healthcare workers and others in vulnerable groups. So unfortunately, there will be an awful lot of people in the community who will have been waiting maybe 7 to 10 days for a result. And that was obviously unanticipated and is unfortunate, but it doesn't really change our plan of ramping up testing over the coming weeks to achieve between 10 and 15,000 tests per day.
Now, the advice is if you have symptoms or you're waiting on test results, to act as if you have the virus and to self-isolate. That's exactly what Wicklow Social Democrats TD Jennifer Whitmore has done. Jennifer is, I believe, still waiting on her test results, but is through the isolation period. And she joins us on the line. Jennifer Whitmore, good morning.
Good morning, Declan.
Good morning to you. So take us back to the beginning. How did you suspect there might be something going on?
So it was around St. Patrick's Day, and I had a bit of a cough, and I had a sore throat, but I wasn't sure. You know, I think just the way things are at the moment, I think whenever you feel a bit off, I think people think that it could be corona. But because I had the cough and the sore throat, and I just generally wasn't feeling great, I decided I'd start self-isolating. So that was on St. Patrick's Day. So that meant I went into a room by myself, and I didn't have any contact with my kids or my husband. And then probably was it 2 days later, I had a fever, I had a spike in temperature. And so then at that point, I rang the doctor and I ordered my, he put me in for a test at that stage. So I've had the test last Wednesday, and I'm still waiting for the results of that. But because I am now 14 days since the first symptom that I had, and I haven't had symptoms for 5 days, I've come out of isolation, but I'm still in my house. Like, I'm not leaving my house, but I'm out of the bedroom as such. You know, but I did have quite a few symptoms over that period. So I think it was probably a good idea to self-isolate when I did.
Yeah, and you had two. You had the cough and the fever.
I did, yeah. So I had symptoms. What I had was, I had a sore throat first and a cough, and just felt generally unwell. Then I had the fever a couple of days later, and actually my breathing got quite bad as well around that time. So there was a few days where I was quite unwell with whatever. Now, I don't know. I haven't tested positive. I haven't had any results back, but whatever I had was a very unpleasant bug. So, but I stayed in the room and I rested, and so I got better pretty quickly. I haven't had any symptoms now for over 5 days.
Very good. But you could have had a light version of it, and if you did, lucky you. But we wait on the test as such. Have you any underlying things, like do you normally can breathe okay? You have no asthma or anything like that?
No, I've no problems with that, but I do have a daughter. My 9-year-old has asthma. So what happened, actually, we were really conscious as a family that we didn't, we wanted to protect her. So once the schools went into, once the schools were stopped, we as a family essentially stayed in our house. We went into sort of lockdown here ourselves because we wanted to make sure that she was okay, which in a way was very fortunate, because by the time I did get symptoms, I hadn't been in contact with people for, I think, 4 or 5 days at that point. But luckily now, my family don't seem to have any problems. So hopefully whatever I had hasn't been passed on to them.
It's quite a long time to wait on a test, isn't it?
A test result.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. So I was tested on Wednesday. So what's that now? It's a week. All the days, to be honest, are merging into one.
Yeah, we're back to Wednesday again.
So that's a week. But I mean, I was talking to someone today who's been 14 days waiting. So that is a long time. And I think I understand that there's a lot of pressure on the system. I mean, I think the system that the government's put in place is very good, and they did ramp up very quickly, and there's a lot of test centres in place. But I think it is difficult for people if they're waiting for 10 to 14 days, and a lot of times there's no information. They don't know who to contact. They don't know when they're going to get the results. So I suppose it is distressing for people if they are unsure whether or not they had it. But the recommendations are that if you have been symptom-free for 5 days and it's been 14 days since you were, you first got your symptoms, that you can assume that you're okay at that point. But, I mean, everyone still has to stay at home, you know, I mean, and be careful.
And you're doing that. How was the test done? You got in touch with your GP. What happened then?
So, yeah, so I rang my GP. He went through my symptoms and then he put in the appointment. Now, the symptoms have changed, or the criteria have changed. So now you have to have a fever and a cough, you know, one of the other symptoms. I had to drive down last week to Wicklow Town. There's a testing centre in Wicklow Town, and you drive in there and you get called in. The nurses come out and they're all geared up. They're wearing the masks and everything else, and they give you a mask to wear. And then you go into the test centre when it's your turn. You know you have to put antiseptic on your hands, and then you sit down. They take some information off you. And essentially they have this swab. So they first put the swab at the back of your throat, and then they put it up your nose, up to the top of your nose. And it's very, very quick. You know, it just takes a couple of seconds. They label the swab and put it away, and then you essentially get sent home with a bag with some information in it and a rubbish bag that you can dispose of your mask and everything in as well. So, look, it's very quick. They were really efficient. They were very busy the day I was in there, actually, last Wednesday. You know, it was quick and it was very well organised.
Now, you adopted the regime at home with the family. How difficult was that? How did you manage?
Well, to be honest, Declan, it makes you realise, you know, how lucky. Like, my husband is working from home. He's at home as well, and he essentially managed the house. I went into a room, and he would just, you know, bring my food in every day. But that was really the only contact I had. The kids would come and chat at the door with me, but that was about it. And it did make me realise, you know, if you were on your own, or if you were a carer for an elderly person or a young person, it would be incredibly difficult to do. You know, being in the room by yourself, even though I had, you know, my husband and the kids around, and they could sort of, you know, he was in and out to me a bit, but it's hard. Like, it's, you know, it's 2 weeks. You're on your own, and it's. From your mental health perspective, it's difficult. You feel very isolated. And so, like, if anyone out there is listening and if they know someone who's in isolation, I'd suggest that they reach out to them, you know, phone call or something like that, because it is nice to keep that contact up while you're in self-isolation. I think it's important to do that, you know.
And did you preload the room you're in with, I don't know, clothes and, well, probably not pasta, but maybe toilet rolls and things like that. I mean, when you decided to do it, you know, did you go around the house and bring stuff in for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. So things like, now, like, it's my daughter's room, so we moved her out. She went in and she was in, she shared in with her brother, so I had the room to myself. So things like plastic bags for rubbish, phone charger. I had my computer in with me, so, you know, I could watch telly or whatever. I brought some books in, but to be honest, I wasn't feeling well enough to concentrate on reading. Pajamas, spare sheets, things like that. You want to be able to survive in the room with as little contact as possible with outside. When my husband, he'd come and he'd leave the food at the door, I'd go, you know, pick it up. But we had a bucket in the room as well, so I would eat my dinner, and then I would put the plate into the bucket so he didn't have to touch it, and then he brought it out and sort of poured boiling water on it so that he didn't have to touch anything that I had touched. So it was just making sure that whatever came into the, you know, that there was no connection between me and outside, essentially, so that if I did have anything, I wasn't passing it on, whether by touching something or direct contact, you know.
And that's where, I mean, it's great to have the family around you to look after you when you're in this and to do what's necessary. It's very important for people who are on their own or they're lived with somebody who's not capable of providing that sort of service for 2 weeks or so. And there are people out there willing to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's. Do you mean the support services that are there for
yeah,
people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. Where would you get a meal and that sort of stuff if, you know, you're doing what's right, but you don't have the family network as such within the house in order to do it?
Yeah, and there are so many support networks out there. I think everyone really wants to get involved and to help in whatever way they can. And so I think for people, you know, sort of ordinary people in our communities, a lot of them are actually getting involved. And it's just fantastic to see how we've really pulled together to help as many people as possible. But if you are self-isolating and you're at home, there are so many supports available to you. So there's Meals on Wheels will actually come and bring you food. There's Alone, if you're elderly, they'll give you support and advice. The guards are fantastic. The guards will actually, they have a number you can ring as well, and they will, you know, they'll come and deliver things to you if you need them, or give you advice on where you can get stuff. But actually the council have also just in the last couple of days set up a coordinated unit. So the council are now really going to pull together all those different elements across Wicklow and be a one-stop shop. So they will provide the advice that you need, and they will organise for someone to come in and help. You know, if you need to get medicines, if you need to get food, they will organise for all that for you. And they have a hotline now, Declan, and the number is 1-800-868-399. That's 1-800-868-399. And if you ring that, they will give you advice and they'll tell you how they can help. Because I think, you know, so many people are independent and they're used to doing things by yourself. But in this instance, it's really important that you get help, because the best thing for people to do is stay at home and look after their health. And by doing that, they will also look after their community's health. So it's really important that people stay at home. And there are so many people who want to help you. So, you know, just ring that number and they'll put you in contact with all the different supports out there that can, you know, do everything that you need so that you can self-isolate successfully.
Right. And as you say, it's not like just being away for 2 weeks and you say, oh, good, I'll catch up on all the books and things. You do actually get quite ill, you know?
Yeah, I think some people may not. I think some people, you know, might find that the symptoms are quite mild. I personally, there was, you know, 3 or 4 days now where I was quite ill with it, with whatever I had. You know, so that was difficult. But, you know, I suppose everyone is different. And I think a lot of people would worry as well. You know, I think if you're on your own, you know, you would worry. One thing that I did do that I wish I hadn't is I was still on social media a lot. And I sort of wish I hadn't at this stage, because there's a lot out there, a lot of information about COVID. And I think when you're on your own in the room, it can be quite overwhelming, and it can sort of feel, you know, it can get quite depressing listening to all the stories and what's happening. And so I think if I was to go do it again, I would stay away from Twitter and I'd stay away from Facebook. But, you know, I think that's why it's important as well to, you know, to be on the phone to your friends and family and to, you know, to chat to people if you can, because it is good to reach out, you know.
Excellent. So did you come up with all policy documents and things like that over the last while?
No, Declan. You're worse than my husband. My husband said, you know, did you learn any lessons? Did you have any great inspirational moments while you're in there? I'm like, no, I didn't. I was sick.
All right. Okay, so you're past the time now, just waiting on the test to see what it was. And your life, are you going around as if you hadn't got it, or are you still waiting on the test to see what interactions you can actually do?
Well, I think, like everyone else, I'm still going to be staying at home. So I think, you know, it's, even though I'm out of my room, I'm you know, behaving normally in my house as such. I'm with the kids and everything else, but I won't be leaving my house, right. You know, over the next while anyway. And I think that's everyone. We should all be in that boat, you know.
Yeah. So one final thing: what was the first hugs like?
Oh, gorgeous. So lovely. Actually, the night before, because the kids were saying to me, Mammy, when do you get out? And I'm like, I'm getting out tomorrow, you know. And my daughter said, so can I give you a hug when you come out? And I said, absolutely, you can. You know, so it was lovely. It was lovely.
Very good. Okay, well, the best of luck. Let us know about the test anyway, if you don't mind sharing
that.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
When you do, that'd be great. Okay, thanks very much indeed, and stay well.
Thanks,
Jennifer.
Bye-bye.
Good morning to you. Bye-bye. That's Wicklow Social Democrats TD, Jennifer Whitmore, in The Morning Show.